WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
In the thick of NFL season struggles, the Chicago Bears are making changes to the offensive side and also eyeing a new home for the team. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Chicago Bears have their sights on a potential site for a new stadium, and it's a spot they had already crossed off their list. The site of the old Michael Reese Hospital in Bronzeville, a place that has both its pros and its cons. The team's also making some changes, from firing their offensive coordinator to cutting loose veteran guard Nate Davis. To learn more, we were joined by Mitchell Armentrout, staff reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, and WBEZ sports contributor Cheryl Ray Stout. I asked Mitch why the Bears want the old Michael Reese Hospital site for a potential stadium. Here he is.
You know, it's kind of surprising to think that we've been talking about this for actually more than 3 years now since the Bears first bought some land out in Arlington Heights. That kind of hit a wall once the Bears ran into a property tax dispute with the local school districts out in the suburbs. So they shifted their focus to breaking ground on a new stadium, basically just south of Soldier Field. That's an idea that state lawmakers have basically thrown all kinds of cold water on, just in terms of any prospects of public financing for that project. So we learned this week that the Bears are seriously considering the Michael Reese site, which is near 31st Street in the lakefront. You know, this is an undeveloped site that the Bears previously said was too narrow to fit an NFL stadium. There's a rail line that goes through the property that they said creates a whole bunch of logistical issues. But, you know, facing pretty stiff political headwinds on their other choices, I think they're, you know, this is just sort of their business modus operandi of trying to figure out as many possible options as possible. And, you know, at least the state lawmakers we've talked to so far, I think this might be a more palatable option in terms of.
Well, so it's clear from what you just shared, like, why they passed on it before, especially when you talked about it being narrow, et cetera. But, I mean, but what was it that made them revisit it? Like, what do they see as a pro?
I think so the developers that own the, that have been trying to find a use for this site for almost 20 years or more than 20 years now, they've really tried to get the Bears to look at this as trying to get creative with the site in terms of relocating the stadium towards the southern end of the site to sort of alleviate some of those issues with the rail line.
I see.
And also developers say that, you know, you can make a better pitch for a stadium and getting public dollars by investing in affordable housing in a neighborhood that sorely needs it, creating a senior community center, and just these other sort of public benefits that Governor J.B. Pritzker and other state lawmakers have really highlighted as, you know, baseline things that the Bears need to prioritize to have any hope of getting public dollars.
So they're almost looking at it with a different lens this time around.
Exactly.
So Cheryl, I mean, this lot, it's only about 2, maybe 3 miles south of Soldier Field, which feels like next door. So what advantage do you think this site has that Soldier Field doesn't?
Well, I think with this particular proposal, they do have Friends of the Park and the Civic Federation that wants it. So they probably won't have any pushback from them. So that's a real big, you know, bridge that they can cross. But it's something that, you know, if they can get the traffic patterns to work right, to have the right, you know, the parking situation to be right, you know, to have everything else that you need for the community, that will be a big plus for them to be able to sell it publicly.
Talk more about Friends of the Parks. Why are they hoping that the Bears choose this site?
Mainly because they, you know, it's away from Soldier Field. It's not as close to the lake as Soldier Field is, and that's something that they don't want to destroy what Soldier Field and that area has to offer to the community.
Now, Mitch, as you alluded to earlier, there's still no guarantee that they'll actually get state support for a new stadium. Illinois officials, they still seem very reluctant, right, to promise public funds to subsidize it. But the legislators, as we know, they're back in Springfield this week for the fall veto session. So, I mean, any thoughts? Will this come up?
It's almost certainly not going to come up this legislative session or even in January when the lawmakers meet again. You know, this is in such an early stage. The Bears have not confirmed that, you know, they're taking a serious look at this site, to be clear. You know, we have heard this from other sources who are close to these talks. So it's a long ways away from, you know, putting any sort of legislative proposal together because, you know, the Bears haven't even officially made any asks so far. So it's, you know, it could be well into next year before we see a formal ask of the state legislature.
This site falls under the districts of both State Rep Cam Buckner, 26th District, and State Senator Robert Peters of the 13th. What are their thoughts?
You know, both of them say that this is a better option than the first two. I should say Buckner and Peters, they both, nobody wants to see the Bears go out to the suburbs. Except, of course, for the Arlington Heights mayor and some state legislators out that direction.
And some folks in Indiana who also asked for,
exactly,
for the team at one point.
Right, yeah. There's a number of suburbs that have kind of thrown their hat in the ring for this. But as far as we can tell, Bears president Kevin Warren, who's been in that post for about the last year and a half, you know, he's really shifted the team's focus to staying in the city. And that's what Buckner and Senator Peters are really interested in, you know. And again, they say that this sort of alleviates the Friends of the Parks legal battle that would be all but certain if the Bears were to proceed with a lakefront stadium. And, you know, more than that, they see this as an opportunity to really invest in housing in a neighborhood that has been lacking in this sort of investment for generations.
Now, Cheryl, let's jump to that other Bears news. So, only 9 games in, right? The team has now fired its offensive coordinator. What led to that move?
The fact is that the offense has really been stagnant the last 3 games that they've lost. You've got Caleb Williams has not thrown a pass since they were in London. And that's a month ago.
Wow.
And one of the things, we just had the press conference with Matt Eberflus, the head coach. He made the decision yesterday morning. He says that with Thomas Brown, who's taken over as the offensive coordinator, they expect more creativity. They have to do something because this team right now is in a rut. And Sasha, it affects everybody on offense and defense when the whole team is suffering on one side of the ball.
Yeah. Have you been watching the games lately, Mitch?
I have, unfortunately. And
so are you seeing the effects of this?
It really is just like deja vu. I mean, it feels like this is the same conversation we could have been having, or we have had, you know, when it came to Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, and these really promising young quarterbacks who just seem to completely hit a wall when they enter the Bears organization. You know, I think there's still hope for Caleb Williams as a fan. You know, I really see some promise there, but it is just really painful to watch at this point.
Yeah, and we're, what, about midway through the season, Cheryl? I mean, is this move going to be enough to get the team back on track?
That's what they're hoping. But, you know, Sasha, anytime you make a move like this, this is a massive move. When you do that, you never know how the players are going to react. They also are going into their toughest part of the schedule. They got to play Green Bay on Sunday. Then they play Minnesota. Then they have Detroit, 3 teams in their division who are well ahead, much better than they are right now. So it's going to be a big, big struggle just to even get a win.
Oh my goodness. I wonder if it's also maybe a sign that they've sort of given up on this season. And they're like, let's look ahead to next year.
They better not.
Too early?
Everyone's, you know what, right now this coaching staff is playing for their jobs for next year. And this is not, this does not look good when your head coach has got 3 different offensive coordinators in just 3 years. That's not a good look. That means that you don't make good decisions with your hires. So this is going to be his opportunity to try to get this team going as far as Matt Eberflus needs to do something. Otherwise, he's going to be gone at the end of the year.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you think, Mitch? You agree?
I do. And it's very frustrating as a fan, as I'm sure it is for the players as well. You know, when you've got a really young quarterback who's just trying to adjust to the NFL, you're not doing him any favors by completely changing the game plan midway through the season. Not that that shouldn't change because things have been so abysmal, but you know, it's hard to see this not stunting Caleb Williams' development in some respects. And Yeah, you just got to feel for the guy.
Now, Cheryl, the Bears also announced, as if that wasn't enough, they announced today that they're releasing offensive lineman Nate Davis. Now, a year and a half ago, the team signed Davis for a three-year, $30 million contract that both the Bears GM and the head coach at the time, they thought that would be a great pairing. And now we're halfway through the contract, and they're letting him go.
Yes, he has not been available the last four games. In fact, they sent him home on Sunday before the game. He did not do many practices during training camp. So they had a problem with him that they couldn't fix. So they let him go. They do have some decent news today that some of their offensive linemen are coming back to the practice field. Both their tackles were out last Sunday. And so they're both coming back. So that may alleviate some of the real problems that they have with this offensive line. But Nate Davis, a veteran that was supposed to be able to plug in there and really, you know, be a stalwart at the guard position, just didn't work out. And that's a costly, costly miss by Ryan Poles, the general manager.
Were you surprised by that move at all, Mitch?
I was. And I'm really curious to see what happens this weekend. The Bears have very famously ownership that puts a lot of stock into games against the Packers. And the Bears have not beaten the Packers for several years now. Cheryl might have the exact number. I mean, it's
been 10 straight games.
10 straight, five Ooh. Seasons. I mean, it's painful to see. You know, you've got to wonder if it's an ugly loss on this weekend, if, that results in more changes coming to House Hall.
All right, well, I want to pivot to the WNBA and the Chicago Sky real quick, Cheryl, because you got a chance yesterday. I was watching your social media accounts. You got a chance to sit down with the Sky's new coach. So tell us about Tyler Marsh.
This is a gentleman that has gone through the rigors of coaching at all levels. College. He was a player, too, in college. He coached in the G League. He coached in the NBA, and he coached with the Aces. And in those several stops, he's won championship as an assistant. He's a player development coach who is going to be perfectly fitted to try to get Angel Reese and Carmelo Cardoso to level up, to get more, you know, polished, because they really needed some work done. He also wants to get more shooting with this team, because that's something that they lacked. They were the last team in the league when it came to offensive scoring. So that's something that, you know, he needs to do. He's got a quiet presence, Sasha. He's not very verbose, but he's very, very diligent in what he says to you and how he says it. He's been embraced by the veterans on the team, which is something that was lacking last year.
Yeah. Talk more about the difference between him and Weatherspoon, Teresa Weatherspoon.
Big difference, because one of the terms that they used yesterday in the press conference was accountability. And that's something that they weren't seeing with some of the young players, the rookies that they had last year. So we should see a shift. It also bodes well that they were able, that Jeff Pagliacca, the general manager, was able to get him to come to Chicago, because this is a coach that was going to get, you know, a choice of jobs. And he decided to go with this guy because he liked what he saw, he liked what he heard, and the fact is they're going to have their own practice facility in just a couple years. So he believes that they're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, when you sat down with Marsh, you asked him about his plans to help develop the team. So I want to play a little bit of what he had to say.
It's going to be a collaborative effort from that end. I certainly, there are some things that that I feel I can help implement, and then, I trust in my staff to help carry those out. But none of that works without the buy-in and the will from Angel and from Camilla and the rest of our team. And so we can put together the best plans possible, but it's the players that execute it. It's the players that make it work and come to fruition. And so we're going to encourage them to work on it. We're going to encourage them to be positive, to be good teammates, to be coachable. We hope that it translates.
So talk more, Cheryl, about what he said his priorities are and where you think Marsh needs to turn his focus immediately.
Well, right now he does have to develop those players that he has, those rookies. Right now, you got a lot of things going under his plate. On Sunday is the draft lottery. So they'll know where they're going to be picking in the draft, which is several months ago. Then they also have the free agency. Then there's the expansion draft, what players are going to be lost, you know, to the expansion team. So that's a lot going on. I talked about, he's got players playing in overseas, so he's got to make contact with them. And the other thing is, with the college season starting right now, is that they have to start scouting these players that could fill the roster that they need in order to be able to be successful. So he's got a lot to do. And, you know, he's got a family. He's got to move to Chicago. But the main thing is really getting the players to, you know, buy into a system. And from what I saw and what I heard from the four players that were there, they bought in.
Yeah. Are you excited for next season of the Sky, Mitch?
I'm very excited. You know, I was surprised, like a lot of Sky fans, by Teresa Weatherspoon's firing.
That was a shocker, and, for sure.
A lot of players seem pretty emotional about it. You know, pretty strong reaction from Angel Reese. But
it'd be interesting to see the relationships he builds.
Yeah. And he seems to have quickly built a, you know, a pretty positive rapport with some of those veterans like Cheryl was talking about.
Yeah.
So, hopefully this is a return to the playoffs.
Well, we certainly wish him the best. We've been talking with Chicago Sun-Times reporter Mitch Armantrout and WBEZ sports contributor Cheryl Race Stout. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Stay up to date on Chicago news, culture, and more at WBEZ.org. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely